time once again for Sports Sidebar, covering sports for Northeast Ohio and sometimes even a little outside that area. Sports Sidebar, where we prove that a little knowledge is dangerous, but even less knowledge makes it a little easier to fill an hour. And now on to our hosts, Captain Bill and Dave.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you fine.
Hey, welcome back to another Tuesday.
It is.
It's exciting. Wow, almost 70 degrees today.
Always feels so much better, doesn't it?
It does.
The sun.
Yep. And get outside.
The birds are singing. Of course, I have one bird that we never have. We've lived in this house now for 20-some years. And the other day, Nancy, I hear this pecking. Oh, okay, Nancy. Hour. Then I. Well, there's a bird trying to is pecking at our storm door.
At the storm door.
Yeah, it has a brass and shiny. It thinks it's seeing another bird, and it's pecking away at itself, which is against the law, I think.
I think it is for certain birds.
Yeah,
for certain birds. Some birds it's okay, but
so this bird is persistent. Peck, 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 peck. I think in mating season, they have territories and
when you got to mate with a doorknob, you're in trouble.
That's pretty bad. I'd like to see the egg on that thing. Huh?
Oh no!
But it does feel good. And I had a preview of it last week and went down to. Just north of Atlanta, see my brother and my Jim went with me. So I had a brother's weekend playing golf and just doing stupid things that brothers do.
Well, and which is playing golf isn't a stupid thing though. But
no, other than golf,
other things.
Yes. So anyway, so it's good to be back.
Yeah,
and I heard that you had a tribute.
We had a tribute to Joe Tate.
Yeah.
And. A really nice guy. I only met him the one time, but he was really nice. And
of course, I spent many a evening driving from Timbuktu. I think after meetings at night and stuff like that, when the Cavs were playing at night or away in a different city, and listening to him, he was just a maestro of. The microphone.
Oh, he was.
He did
more with just himself calling a basketball game than it seems like most teams do.
Yeah, he is almost a different person behind the mic than he was in real life. I mean, I remember that interview when LeBron left for the first time with Bruce Drennan.
Mm-hmm.
He was on, and Bruce Drennan had to pull the answers out of him. I think he had a calm demeanor, but you get him behind the microphone and bingo, remember him, Bingo
yep,
Smith,
yep.
He was just a delight to hear, and I enjoyed when he did baseball. Here's a guy from a little town, I think in Indiana, went through a lot of different, he paid his dues. He really did pay his dues to get to where he was.
Well, and he was calling for some college team. And when he got the call from Nick Mulledy to come to the Cavs, he actually lost money coming to the Cavs from the college team.
I thought they paid big bucks to
in general he did, but Nick Mulledy actually had no money. He got paid by the game, which means after he took in the receipts from the he was able to pay Joe Tate.
Yeah.
And I think Tate was paid about $100 a game.
Yeah.
When he first came here.
Which is nothing, really.
Certainly is nothing now.
For a major league
broadcaster. Right. A Hall of Fame, which is what he became. A Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. He is in the non-players wing of the Hall of Fame at Naismith Museum in Massachusetts for the basketball.
I believe he called the Len Barker game
on
TV.
And you know what? I was watching that. Our youth group was getting together. I think it was a Saturday afternoon. It was on Channel 8 then. And we kept running in the house to go back to the game because Large Lenny was having a no-hitter.
Yeah,
and he was there with Bruce Drennan.
Yeah.
And everybody got mad at Bruce because Bruce was saying, folks, if you don't realize it here, Lenny's got a no-hitter going here.
Yeah.
A perfect game. And everybody got mad at me. Said, look, it's not. It's when the players talk about it. When the players talk about it to each other,
yeah,
or say it out loud, that has nothing to do with broadcasters.
And I've heard it more than when a pitcher's really going really good in a game and tearing a no-hitter to the seventh or eighth inning.
They all stay away from him, which makes him nervous.
Yeah.
You know, his friends and stuff are all backing away from him. They don't want to jinx him or anything.
Which is dumb because it's not. Right. Yeah. Anyway, Bruce Redden and Joe for 2 years, I thought were terrific.
I thought they were.
And Bruce was a clown, but serious. I mean, I remember Hot Dog Day, and he's holding a big hot dog. And Joe Tate just worked with him. And what a marvelous career that Joe had. And it's
and then
too bad.
Finished off his last part of his career was with Mountain Union.
Doing
the football games.
Yeah.
So he did basketball, he did baseball, and he did football. He did whatever he wanted to do, he was able to do. He was that
Well, he
versatile.
Was that talented. Yeah. The only time he stayed with the Cavs except for those 2 years that Stepien and him just
right, couldn't. Everybody just got rid of him. He didn't want to pay him.
Yeah, yeah. He was so good, he was offered a national gig, and he didn't want it.
Would you offer something? Art Modell offered it to you? I don't know.
Well, talking national contract, yeah. I think a lot of that's what a lot of broadcasters want to do, to go to the national level. But he didn't. He stayed here and was extremely successful.
What's funny is in the last article, he was talking about how much Joe loved trains. He said, they rode, when they traveled a lot together with the Cavs and stuff, mm-hmm. they would eat together and things like that. He says, and when they could go by car, Joe would actually, he knew all the schedules of all the trains. And he'd come up to a track, he'd stop and wait to see if the train was on time.
Oh, my goodness.
He said he was the only guy he ever knew was hoping to get caught by a train.
Yeah.
The rest of us said, oh, my goodness, I'm going to die sitting here for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But Joe was a guy that wanted to be interrupted by the train.
Well,
by a train.
He was a student of the game, obviously, because he never had an analyst with him. He didn't want an analyst with him. And I just remember the Folgers coffee. He loved Folgers coffee, obviously. I mean, in the middle of it, if they're playing on the West Coast and you're listening to them at 11 o'clock at night, you want to get a cup of Folgers coffee because Joe is enjoying it so much. He was just fantastic.
Yeah.
And three-pointers and all that.
He was with the right hand.
Yeah, yeah. He was just one of a kind. And he was ours, Northeast Ohio.
Yeah, that's not something we can say very often.
He's like the Michael Stanley of sports broadcast.
Although he could have been successful wherever he went.
Oh, yeah,
Stanley couldn't.
Yeah.
You know, he said we do three sellout crowds in a row in Northeast Ohio. Then we go to some place in Indiana playing to a 400-seat venue and couldn't sell it out.
Yeah.
You know? That was Michael Stanley.
Michael Stanley, but it's a shame. His last few years were, unfortunately, with bad health, and we lost another icon, and that's just too bad. But a lot of good memories, and I think Terry Pluto, I read the article prior to his passing that Terry had written. It almost sensed, well, he was in hospice, so you don't go to hospice and usually come out. It's just unfortunate. Some do. And recover enough that they're going to live for a while longer. But, once you got palliative care, it's normally not too long before the patient goes. And, gosh, I didn't know he was that bad of shape. I really didn't know, but...
He had a lot of things.
Heart problems.
He had a lot of things going on at one time.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyway, that was the bad news.
One thing that Mike May said, he even just ran into him not long ago, said he never, ever lost that voice of his. I mean, a lot of times when you get older, I mean, he was almost 83.
Yeah.
A lot of times when you get to that point, you lose that delivery, you lose that voice, that intonation. Joe never did.
No. I don't know when he last did Mount Union games, but you talk about $100 a game. That's probably what he probably was doing it just for the fun of it at that point.
Well, no, no, $100 a game is when he started with the Cavs.
I'm just saying with Mount Union.
With Mount Union, he just truly loved the game.
Division III, yeah.
And he got to a point where he was only doing home games. And then when the dad, Karis, left, then he left.
So anyway.
It was just too much.
Yeah.
Travel and everything. Because he had health issues for some time. And matter of fact, his last year he only did, half a dozen games because he had heart surgery. And then he had blood clots.
Yeah.
And so, he never looked back. This is a guy that never looked back. He never regretted. He never looked back. He said, he really didn't care. He really didn't follow the Indians. He didn't follow the Browns. He didn't follow the Cavs. He was done with it. He says he was just done with professional sports. Now, he attended some high school sports from time to time. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Mount Union. So college he liked, high school he liked, but he didn't like what the pros had become.
Yeah. He was a very unique man. And my goodness gracious, we were lucky to have him. And you listen to those Cavs games, and he would make any game sound interesting. His voice reacting to the action on the court, and he did a good job in baseball. I never heard him on football.
I never heard him do the Mountain Union games. I'm sure we could have found it, especially nowadays with everything being on the internet.
The Mountain Union had the best sports announcer in Division III football, I want to tell you, because most of them are students doing the broadcast. I know at Baldwin Wallace, the students did the broadcast on their campus radio stations, and it sounded like students doing the...
Yes.
So, that was bad news, but it was teed up really with Terry Pluta's article and that the end was near, but another chapter has passed.
Another chapter has begun with your...
You're talking about my book of useless information?
No, I'm talking about your SVM.
Oh, St. Vincent's. Well, I went there. Yes, it was St. Vincent's. No, it's St. Vincent's.
It was St. Mary's. Yes.
And
yeah, my wife went to St. Mary's.
Oh, did she?
Yes.
Okay. And another state championship. They won 72-50 over St. Francis de Sales.
Pretty definite.
Significant.
I
guess they were. I forgot the article. And it was a. I guess the second half was just a massive surge by St. Vincent. They got him. Drew Joyce II is a incredible, not an incredible story, but an incredible high school coach who learned under Keith Dambrot.
Mm-hmm.
And when Keith was brought in by my brother at St. Mary High School, and when he was the AD, and who better to learn the basketball game from than Keith Dambrot, who's now the head coach of Duquesne, and his sons, Drew Joyce III, is an assistant coach.
He's at Cleveland State. Look what Cleveland State did this year.
Unfortunately, they didn't win in the NCAA tournament, which is very difficult. I mean, they played Houston, and they're a good program. And his other son, I forgot, I think it's Brandon, but don't quote me on it. He's the head coach at Ignatius High School.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
I did not know that.
Yeah. So they're all kind of teachers and coaches, and Drew Joyce II, the coach of St. Vincent St. Mary, got his education degree, but went into business, was quite successful. What a good family. It's just, they have, of course, LeBron James going to St. Vincent had something to do with this collecting talent, which a Catholic school can do.
Right.
Which is also, we talked about this, I think, several times over the, this is our 14th year doing this.
Wow. 14th
year. Best years of my life. And I've done, 14 years. I've enjoyed every show. Almost.
At least every other, yeah.
So, he, LeBron. LeBron was a, you know, he's a magnet. He is a, the court is named after LeBron after he put $1 million into renovating.
Yeah, that would probably help it a little.
Yeah, and LeBron's taken over the world.
He's buying into the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, I guess.
Because he loves the Yankees.
I don't understand that, but the opportunity for him to be a partial owner, good for him.
Well, here's the thing, you know, people say, well, you need a game for Cleveland. Well, you know what? LeBron is good at making, with all of his compadres around him, making smart decisions. The Cleveland thing would never turn around for him unless he were to buy the whole team and then sell the team.
Well, LeBron's...
Where Boston is a moneymaker.
Yeah, well...
Like, they need his money.
Yeah, well...
Like, they really need his money.
Well, it gets them a foothold, doesn't it?
It does get into
ownership. That's right. What happened with the doofuses in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And the minority owner of the Indians left the Cleveland Indians to buy the...
So it could be a stepping stone.
Stepping stone.
I'm surprised, though. Usually you think that he wanted to own a team like Michael Jordan did, a basketball team, is what you would think.
You would have thought, yeah, but they had an opportunity. Maverick Carter is his good friend and business partner, and they must
He does not lose money.
He does not lose money. I mean, now, the buying a team, you know, LeBron's well off. I mean, come on, he's doing magnificently.
Yes.
But you got to be a billionaire to buy a Major League Baseball franchise. You really do.
Yeah.
And you know, the Cleveland Indians, even though they're in a small market or mid market area, they are worth $1 billion. And
even this team?
Even this? Well, we're not horrible. I mean, we're not horrible. We're not. We're going to have games 3-2 or 7-4 without the other team scoring seven. I don't know how we're going to score seven runs. But anyway, the offense is so bad. But it just takes a lot of money to own a franchise, and they still can't get the name right. I guess they don't know what to do about the name. They're going to wait maybe another year. I understand.
I haven't heard that yet.
Yeah, the Dolans was in front of the City Club of Akron and mentioned that it may take until 2023 to find a name. I don't understand that.
When they find the name and name it, then they got to work on all the merchandising to make sure everything is ready to roll out at one time.
I understand, but it doesn't seem like it would be that difficult.
Well, it would be if it's not seeming to be your main focus. And he should have different people be doing that if that was going to be his focus to have it done by next year, which he's not, apparently.
I'm telling you, I like the Cleveland Ghost Riders. I think that's the name. And
Yippee-yi-yay, yippee-yi-yay.
There you go. What a song. By the Outlander, Outlaws. Oh, what a song going into that. That would get the... Anyway... LeBron just obviously had a good opportunity. Now, how much he owns of the Boston Red Sox?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it could be, maybe only $10 million, right?
Yeah.
Only $10 million, which is just a drop in the bucket for that franchise. That franchise has got to be worth $2 billion. I mean, that market.
Yeah, because of where it is. Right.
Sell exactly. Out. And
There's no baseball competition around there.
No.
They've got a great rivalry. They fill up their stadium every game, you know, and they've got at least three or four cable companies that fight to broadcast their games every every season.
Well,
that's where all the money comes in. It's basically through local media.
Yeah, they just got a tremendous, tremendous following. Because they've been winning. Now they're not scheduled. They're going to be in the doldrums for a while. They won't be for long. But the Yankees are going to have a very good team this year. But maybe that's why LeBron got in it, because they're kind of down a little bit right now. And
it'd be a little easier to get in.
Get out. He's not going to lose. Like you said, that money is just going to appreciate with that franchise.
Right. And if he does get a chance, opportunity. If he does it within baseball, he's going to have to sell out that, but that'll give him more money to to buy into another team. So in a sense, it's like possibly an investment into another team.
Yeah, so of course he's, I don't know why people criticize LeBron for, they're just looking for reasons, but you know, he's outspoken about political issues, especially when it comes to Black Lives Matter. I think he has every right in the world to profess his opinion about that and certain other things. Other people can. I mean, it's a free country, and some people, well, athletes shouldn't do it. Well, you know, if that's their right. You know, some fans don't like that.
Well, and another thing he does is he puts his money where his mouth is as well. And
yeah.
He, you know, look what he's done for kids in Akron. You know, and the more that he does and his foundation does to build upon that.
Mm-hmm. And now he's endeavoring with the transformation of the now old...
The old Tangiers,
yeah.
I didn't even realize that had been closed down.
I did. Well, I guess they closed down because of the pandemic. And
well, okay.
Well, I just heard these strange noise.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Oh.
I think the truth
is
out there.
Maybe it's Joe's trying to tell us something from above.
He's saying, stop talking about
it. Stop talking, yeah. So anyway, yes, he would say that.
He would say that, yeah.
He wouldn't like people glorifying him in any way.
But, yeah, that's true.
But LeBron, I just remember that interview Bruce Drennan had on his show with Joe Tape when LeBron left, and he didn't do anything. He didn't diss him. He didn't do anything. I think Joe Tape was thinking that he would lambaste LeBron for leaving Cleveland. Yeah, we did.
I'm surprised he did it because not in the interview he did with us, but in the talk he did, because somebody did bring up Bruce Drennan, because he did the interview with us and he went in and did the talk, which was there to help sell the book, which he really didn't. He hated doing that.
Yeah.
And, anyway, he loved talking, but he hated doing the book.
Yeah.
It seems to me he just kind of, when somebody asked about it, he just kind of smirked and chuckled and just kind of held back a little bit. I think it, as far as Bruce Drennan goes, he tolerated him. He didn't really think he acted like a professional broadcaster, but they were good together.
They were. I mean, they were opposites. One was kind of a jocular. Bruce Drennan was jocular, and he still is. I haven't watched him now for almost a year and a half, 2 years. I just I don't. It's not because I don't like him. It's just that got other things to do, and. But Bruce is an entertainer.
He's an entertainer.
But he is smart.
He certainly knows sports, and he certainly knows betting.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he does.
Inside
but
and out of the joint.
He doesn't know how to pay the taxes on his winnings.
Yeah.
Which got him in.
That was just card games, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, something like that.
It was absolutely ridiculous.
Well, he spent like 4 months what they call low minimum security
yeah.
prison, and which was an embarrassment. But I think it was the Dolans that gave him the opportunity to get on Sports Time when they owned it.
When they owned it, right?
To do his sports.
All soccer. Bets are off.
All bets are off. Yes.
What a great title.
Now it's not that.
Because when they sold it, it became part of Fox, and Fox didn't want.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Now it's part of Sinclair. And again,
is it really?
Yeah, Sinclair bought it. Many of their. Oh my goodness gracious! What a busy place this is.
It's a busy place. Yeah.
Yes.
Would you believe?
What? Would I believe? Again, it's going to be interesting. I don't know if you've heard anything. Whether they're still going to have the announcers travel with the team when they go.
I have not heard, but you've got. You've got the team down. Well, of course, you don't have as much of the TV and stuff. But I have not heard. And if, you know, that could really lengthen Tom Hamilton's stay in Cleveland, because you get to a point where they just say, well, I really don't want to do the travel. I'll do the home games. And
yeah, traveling is tough.
Rosie can do the traveling, that kind of a thing.
I don't know. But, I know that he seems to enjoy some of the stadiums that they go to and the atmosphere, but it gets to be a drag. It really.
I mean, there are sometimes even during the season that he's just not there. I think he takes breaks even during the season, which to me is so weird. You know, that the broadcaster isn't there during the season.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, we are fortunate in Cleveland and Northeast Ohio to have Tom Hamilton, who does the radio, does an extremely good job. And he had Joe Tate.
Mm-hmm.
And he had Jimmy Donovan, and before him some really good Gibb Shanley and Gosh.
Yeah.
And even before Tom Hamilton, gosh, those guys, I forgot.
Yeah, Herb Score.
He started out with Herb Score and Tom started out when
Neb Chandler.
Yeah, Neb Chandler.
Neb Chandler did all football and the Indians for a while.
And he was really good. There was some, I think, Casey Coleman was also the
Browns. He was with the Browns for a while.
Yeah, and he passed away.
Yeah.
And at first, I thought that was a jinx job because everybody who took that job died. And Jimmy Donovan came down with leukemia, but he's back and he does. I mean, he's a homer. There's no doubt about he doesn't even hide it. But
he is paid by the Browns,
and he is paid by the Browns, and does his voice is just full of enthusiasm.
The most amazing thing Jimmy Donovan did was when we had all these terrible, terrible, horrid teams, you know, 1-15, 0-16, and he still tried to make them sound, it was his job to make the game sound interesting.
And he does. He did. And he has this very, very energetic voice that we benefit from. And I just wish I could sync up him and the TV sometimes, but it's hard to do. But anyway, so we've been fortunate in this part of the country to have really top of the line. I'm surprised Tom Hamilton hasn't been picked up somewhere else too in a major market. But you get comfortable. You get comfortable with the organization. It's like Terry Francona.
I think he's done some basketball, but
he does some basketball. Yes, Big Ten. I don't know. I don't know if he lives here in the off season or not. I really don't know.
I think he's not far from here, considering that his son went to Kent State.
Yeah,
and all.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't know where he's originally from either. Do we know?
Wisconsin.
That? Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah, he's from a small town in Wisconsin. Started out in a small station there, and then most of these guys worked themselves up.
As Bruce Drennan did.
Joe Tate.
Joe Tate.
Yeah, you start off with a small station doing local high school, and then you move up to maybe area college,
he got the call to.
Yeah. So,
one point during the interview that Steve Clark was doing there, he said, "I'm going to throw out a name, and you just do the first thing." And he said, "Nick Mullett." He says, "World's greatest con man," because the guy, he bought the team, he got it started.
I think
they absolutely had no money.
I thought he bought it on a Bank of America card.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, he absolutely had no money to do anything with. That's what he called him, the world. It was all complimentary. Mm-hmm. He said, Ted Stepien. He said, "Well, my mother told me never to speak ill of the dead, so I won't."
Well, gosh, opening day is in Detroit is just a week from Thursday.
Wow.
April 1st.
Well.
It's hard to believe,
isn't it? It is hard to believe.
Yeah.
Especially since I've listened to some games and half the names I don't even recognize.
Well, I'm not all that.
Have you listened to any of the games?
No.
You haven't, okay.
No.
It's preseason. It's spring games. It doesn't mean anything. I don't watch them, but it's nice in the car to hear Tom Hamilton talk about it.
Yeah.
If it weren't Tom Hamilton, I wouldn't be sitting there listening to them at times.
I do enjoy going to spring training, which I didn't do this year, and watching, just getting the warmth and in a ballpark and having hot dogs and a beer and enjoying the atmosphere of spring training and going to the camp to watch the practices and everything. That's, to me, extremely enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying to see how I get tickets in April, and you can't right now. I don't know what their holdup is.
Holdup is that they're only allowed a percentage of the people in.
Yeah.
And I think season ticket holders get first grabs at them.
So if they're limited to 12,000, that's about probably how many season tickets
that's
there are.
About
so
how
they're
many
not
going to
sell any until the governor raises the
limits. Yeah.
And maybe that'll be in May.
Since we just covered, you know, again, not all the time, but we just finally hit our 1 millionth COVID case in Ohio. You know, you don't know how quickly that's going to. Although you start to see. Many of the counties are starting to go from red down to orange.
So. I'm just afraid there's 15 states now starting to have an increase.
That's because they're just opening up everything.
Yeah, and you know, some of these governors say we got to trust the good judgment of the people of Texas. For
no, you can't do that. They people don't have good judgment.
They like, you know, they have to be told.
Right.
Nobody likes wearing these stupid masks. And
no,
but. We're almost there. We're almost there, folks. I mean, another
get
two or
shot.
Three.
Yeah, and a lot of people that don't want to wear masks also don't want to get the shot.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, you see these pictures of spring break, too. I mean, these are young people who are saying, the heck with it. I'm going to go down there and have a good time.
Yeah, so what they've done is they shifted the responsibility, since people aren't responsible.
Yeah.
They shifted the responsibility from the state to the businesses, which is a horrid thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, like the lady in Texas would get arrested because going in a bank, refusing to put on a mask, refusing to leave, and essentially because of that she was trespassing. They arrested her essentially for trespassing because she wouldn't put on a mask. She wouldn't shut up. She couldn't believe she could get arrested for that. And she could because there was a mask mandate by the business.
Yeah.
You know, where around here, at least the governor said, you will wear masks. If you go inside places,
compliance.
Yes, at first there was not, and then people did capitulate. And outside of certain events, when all kind of people got together again, that holidays and things like that, you know, things seemed to calm down. They're not going to be calmed down like when they made everybody stay home. But the fact is, you know, I thought we did fairly well here, and I thought we had good direction, and it was good direction from the state.
Yeah, and you're seeing an increase again in France and Germany. And
with different variants as well.
Yeah.
And they had to temporarily pause their vaccination because they felt that it possibly caused blood clots.
Yeah, 9 people out of millions, but apparently it was just...
It might have been, very well been, I would imagine, be a coincidence.
Yeah, well, it is, and if you hear that, you know, you have 10 people vaccinated, you're going to have people die crossing the street. It has nothing to nothing to do with the vaccine, and the blood clots really had nothing to do with the vaccine because people... get blood clots all the time.
They do.
And my goodness, I heard somebody dropped dead. Well, they probably dropped dead anyway if they didn't have the vaccine. So you can't focus on that.
I mean, you still read about it. I just read an obituary in Ravenna that the guy passed away from it. He had fought it for 50 days and lost it. You know, these are still out there. They're still happening. People just, I understand being tired of it. I'm tired of it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure you're tired of it. Oh. You come in here and we can't sit down there and have our coffee like we always do.
No,
you've got the mask on. I have the shield on. But it's great to be in
studio. The shield does become you, by the way.
It does. Well, some days, you know. Some days the mask is much better.
Yeah, I prefer the mask. I steam up the glass, the shield, and I'd rather keep this thing on.
But it is affected. It's like it's affected March Madness. There were three top teams that couldn't even go into March Madness tournament because of COVID.
Yeah.
They had a game that was canceled. on Saturday before it could start because of COVID. You know, they're playing
during the week too, which is surprising.
It is.
I don't know. I mean, because of the COVID thing.
Because they're playing Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's what they used to do.
Yeah.
But they're playing. They played Monday. Yeah. Are they playing?
I don't know. I have not followed. I just have no interest.
As March Madness now doesn't. They expanded it beyond the 64 teams, and then they. They don't start till the middle of March now, and so their last game, the championship, is until April anyway. So March Madness ends in April. Doesn't end before April; it ends in April.
Yeah, but I was surprised to see that.
I'm wondering if partially it's because of Easter being early this year or something.
Is it?
It's the first Sunday in April.
Which is right around the corner.
Which is right around
the corner. A week from Sunday.
That's right. These out your traps for the Easter bunny.
Yeah, get my no traps.
Where do you think I get all my extra Easter eggs?
At Rite Aid. I get them after
Aldi's.
I get them the next day because they're cheaper.
Yeah.
You get them on Monday after Easter, and they're half price.
25% off, 50% off. Yeah,
and they'll give them to you. What were we talking about? We were just completing a thought here. We don't think.
We just rattle off.
well, anyway, baseball's coming.
Baseball!
Yeah, that's what we were talking about.
We were.
Yes.
And what do you think? You haven't listened to it at all. You haven't watched it at all.
No, it's very little in the paper, too. Well, Ryan Lewis has an article every day, but it's...
In the game I listened to on Sunday, they played Texas, and Texas didn't bring any of its starters along. Now, why in this time of the season would you not have starters there?
I know.
It wasn't a split squad, either. You know, a lot of times you hear about split squads, so they can play two games at one time and really check. But this is the time of season of the spring where they're pretty much down to what most of your main team is. You've got a few guys on the outside bubble just trying to make it in.
Well, Oscar Mercado won't be one of them.
He was an options, was he?
No, he has options.
Oh, he has options.
But Jake Bowers is the one that doesn't have options. And
he's had a pretty good spring from what I understand.
And golly, he'll probably hit 240. We'll be so happy.
You know what? We were always saying Dwayne Kuiper hit 255 and said, what a disappointment, 255. You know, and last year we didn't have many that could hit that. We had one guy
about
100 or something.
That was Mercado.
Ricardo
and Oscar.
He was under one, I think.
Yeah, but he had such a great rookie year that, it was the center field's position to lose for him.
And he lost it. Yeah.
And he lost it with another week or so to go in spring training. So that tells you how bad his swing is and his mental state and things like that. We're down to Bradley Zimmer. Oh, my goodness. And Ahmad Rosario, who had three errors when they threw him out there in center field.
Yeah, they did. Well, they moved him from shortstop, and supposedly center field is the easiest outfield position to get accustomed to. Supposedly.
I don't know. You're supposed to be the best athlete out there because you do have to.
Well, he's a shortstop, so I would imagine he would be a darn good athlete.
Because you do have to go a long way sometimes in center field to get to the ball.
Because Rick Manning was originally a shortstop when they hired him and brought him in.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And then the minors, after a second year, they switched him to center field.
Wow. Well, so the
that sounds like I almost didn't make it up. I didn't.
Yeah, no, it sounded good. Yeah.
I didn't make that up. He started off as a shortstop.
Your shortstop is your best athlete, and of course, sticking him out.
And he ended up winning at least two Gold Gloves out in the outfield.
Yeah. So,
that nobody could slide into a catch like he could.
He was a good player. He was a journeyman, good journeyman player, upper echelon journeyman. He wasn't star because of his hitting wasn't that great, but he was a good player, and he's still doing, I think he's still doing, I don't know, I assume.
Well, television, that, I don't know. I don't watch spring games. I will listen to them on the radio if I'm going through and it's on, because I'll listen. Tom Hamilton can make me listen to anything.
Yeah. He's very good, but. So we've got to, I think the pitching staff is pretty well settled. Even the bullpen is pretty well settled. The outfield is still a mess.
How many years has our outfield been a mess?
Huh?
How many years has our outfield been a mess?
Well, not when we had Michael Brantley and we had, I can't think of all of them.
That's been 5 years at least.
Oh, four. 3 years ago is when Michael left, and he did a good job.
Really? 3 years ago?
It seems
like so much longer than that.
I know. And he would have stayed if they offered him a decent contract.
And he signed for the same amount of money he was paid here.
Yeah. Good guy, too.
And a good teammate?
I can't remember.
And an unselfish player?
I don't remember that outfit. I know it was him. And it'll come to me, but anyway, it doesn't matter. I'm going to be like Joe Tate. That was the past. I'm looking forward to the future. That's a good excuse for not remembering.
Yeah.
This is not a team to be excited about, unfortunately. Now, maybe you never know, and you just never know. That these young guys like Jake Bauer and Famil Reyes and Ahmad Rosario and Cesar Hernandez, who we had last year's back in second. But you miss a dynamic player like Lindor, who he did have. This last year was just, I really dismissed last year. They didn't have a traditional. They had a spring training. Then
it wasn't
they stopped.
Traditional
yeah,
after.
It was nothing. It was just out of sync. And I think a lot of players of almost every caliber were out of sync.
Yeah.
So I just hope Shane Bieber stays in sync. He had a tremendous year last year. Yeah, Cy Young winner.
Outside of his
when it counted, he blew it. But we're accustomed to that.
We are.
Oh, we have Naylor. Naylor's too. He's going to be. We're going to have the other Jose Rosario, in left, and Naylor, or in right, Naylor in left or right, and then we're going to have either Zimmer or somebody else. I don't know what they're going to do with Jake Bauer. I know that he's in contention with first base along with Bobby Bradley. But maybe, you know, there is some possible ifs here. If Bobby Bradley comes to his potential, you know, where that gets you, right?
Yeah, it gets you fired.
Not
right?
Terry Francona,
yeah.
But
yeah.
Bradley.
Ifs are a little weak through the middle.
Weak if. I'm sorry, I can't be strong. Yeah. Bobby Brad, Jake Bowers, Bo Naylor, some of these other guys find their stride finally. It could be a very competitive team, but we've got
the pitching to make us competitive.
Yeah.
Do we have the hitting? And it's such a young staff that if they don't get the hitting, do they go off? You know, and it's possible that could set off the pitching, saying, why am I bother trying this hard if I keep them to two runs and they score one every time. You know, it can be discouraging to the younger. Matter of fact, speaking of Francisco Lindor, his teammate that went with him to the Mets has been sidelined the entire spring and doesn't look like he will be there at opening day.
Who, Francisco?
Carlos Carrasco.
Oh, Carlos. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's having some hamstring issues.
Oh my!
And
I haven't followed them afterwards. I mean,
and they were talking about that during the game, and I said, "Wow, you know, I guess maybe it was a smarter move than I thought. Because, you know,
well, they were smarter than Corey Kluber. They obviously saw some fault lines in his delivery and said goodbye. And well, they traded him. And he's with the Yankees this year, and see how he does. Yankees are loaded. I mean, they are just loaded as always. And I mean, they got the money to buy enough talent, pay all the fines and everything else.
Yeah.
So we wish him luck. He did a nice job. He was a good guy. Yeah.
He never dissed this team.
No.
And whenever they let him down with all the times they weren't scoring, he never once complained. Yeah, that's
and I wish Frankie Lindor, especially since he's in the National League, he's not going to come back to haunt us like Kluber could. And
but we only play them.
Yeah,
six games. We might not even see him. Three games here, three games there.
We play New York. Where is it here? In April, for goodness' sake.
In April,
we play him the 22nd.
Well, you have to watch him on your TV then.
23rd, 24th, and you can't buy a ticket.
Yeah,
I guess you could get on StubHub and pay $900 for a ticket. I don't know what they're going for, but I'm not going to do that.
Yeah,
not in April. I mean, I'll pay a decent price but it's not going to be like the opening day.
No,
which is just for those who haven't experienced. It's just a fabulous day. It's just the most equivalent to a college home football game that you opening day is. Everybody's just having a great time. The only thing I've ever experienced that matches that is the World Series game, which I had the good fortune of attending back in 16. And another back in 09 or 07 with one of the divisional games. Mm-hmm. I mean, every pitch is everybody's on the edge of their seat in those games because they're so critical. That's exciting. And then after the home opener, it gets down to the,
then you have the day off.
The day off. And then
after the home opener.
Then the long 162-game season, which they are going to have this season. And who knows about next year with the baseball contract coming up with the Players Association. It's just, you talk about two parties that don't trust each other.
Yeah.
You can't get, it's just.
Probably farther apart than any other sport.
Oh, by far. You know, football has a pretty good relationship. In fact, some criticize it that they really didn't do as well as they should have. It seems, too, that the Basketball Association has a good relationship with their players.
Yeah, because the lunatics run the asylum there.
Well, yeah, so it's their game. It's their game. So, I mean, you got Andre Drummond, for my goodness sakes, making $29 million a year.
He's not even be there.
And knitting socks on the. I don't know what he's doing. But
yeah.
He's not. I don't think.
But they're not letting him play.
Is he even on the bench?
He was on the bench. Sometimes he wasn't, I think.
And then I guess the trade deadline will pass and he'll be let go.
They'll release him. And they still have to pay off his contract.
I know. It's just.
Why aren't they playing him?
I don't know. They don't want him hurt. If they're not going to get anything for him, might as well
play him.
And then he's done after this season anyway. It's only one more year. The player option was just for this year. After that, they're not going to pick him up.
No.
Gosh,
that whole thing with him has just utterly confused me.
He's a good team player.
It is, but and his teammates really like him, especially the young ones. They really look up to him. They go to him for advice.
He's only 28 years old, for goodness.
Well, yeah, when your average age there is 22 or 23, that's an old man. But
28 is old.
In the NBA basketball, when the rest of your team's 22, 23 years old, yeah.
I have bunions.
It's
older
not like,
than
it's
that.
It's not like when LeBron was here and they had the most veteran team.
I don't know. It just seems what a ridiculous way of wasting money. But
he's got money to waste. So, but you know what? I would imagine he's been pretty silent since the stroke, I guess we could say.
Oh, the Gilbert owner.
Gilbert, yeah.
Yeah. I Well, he's got tons of money. He's multi. I was surprised in the paper yesterday that Kanye West is as rich as he is. You know, Kim Kardashian's soon-to-be ex-husband.
Yeah.
He's worth like $5 billion.
How?
I don't know.
I know he sells clothes, but clothes don't make money, but I guess his tennis shoes do. So his fashion tennis shoes have made him a billionaire?
A multi-billionaire.
I don't... There's many things in life I don't understand, and he is, in this life, I don't understand. He is one of them.
Well, I don't know too much about him. All I know is good for him. If he can make $5 billion, every time I have seen him, he's kind of Looney Tunes. He ran for president, but didn't run for president, I was thinking, well, how much money? He can't have that much. And then I read in Monday's paper, he's a billionaire. Is he a singer? He's a singer.
He's a rapper.
Yeah.
But even rappers don't seem to be billionaires.
Well,
unless they invested in other things.
Jay-Z is. Jay-Z and.
But he's invested in other things.
Yeah, Jay-Z's a smart.
He's a businessman.
And what a beautiful wife, Beyonce.
He's kind of.
He's a lucky man. A lucky, lucky, lucky man. Very lucky.
Yeah, okay.
I think she's one of the most beautiful women around, but that's my own personal belief. But he's got to be. I can't believe he's not making more money than Kanye West.
No, because he's got a far lot more business. Acume and businesses than Kanye West.
Doesn't he own part of the Brooklyn Nets or something?
I think he's part owner in that, and he also has some electrical headphones and things like that he is invested in and things like that are expensive but very good, and so expensive means worth some money.
Yeah,
you know. So I don't know.
Well, anyway. Get back to Indians. Like I said, they don't know when the name change. It's going to be hard for us not to say Indians for years.
For years, you know, right.
We're going to be saying Indians as long as we're around doing this. Right. Because since 1903, they've been the Indians.
Well, no.
Well, almost. Okay, close to 100 years.
Close to 100 years, yes.
Jeez.
I would say that.
Okay, 99 and a half years they were Indian. Close to it. Okay.
Sure.
95 years. Because the other names were like a year here and a year there. But the Indians have been around.
They've stuck around for the longest, yes.
Yes.
It's gonna be
Can
hard.
You grant me that? Can you
Absolutely.
Grant me that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I'm gone a week and you get snippy.
somebody has to be a fact checker here.
Oh, my goodness. But anyway. Somebody, who was it? I think the PBS station was talking about the Dolans not knowing when this change is going to come. They were pushing for the Guardians.
Wasn't that one of the soccer team or something?
The Guardians?
Yeah.
I don't know.
There was a Cleveland team that was called that. I think
it was the roller derby team.
Was it the roller derby team?
I had no idea. I'm making it up.
It might have been. I don't know.
The Tiddlywinks team.
I don't know.
And then you got the Spiders seems to be the leading candidate. You can imagine.
You have a cool logo with that, though. Wrap them up with the Spiders. Yeah.
I don't know.
Plus, there's history behind that as well.
Well, I understand there's history. I guess that's the name before the Indians.
The National League team.
How about the zebra mussels? I mean, there's all kinds
zebra
of
zebra mussels.
The Cleveland zebra mussels.
The Asian carp. That's in the lake area.
No, you can't use that.
Asian carps?
It's kind of.
The walleyes.
Cleveland walleyes. A fish. Yeah. Well, there are fishes. I mean,
Lake Erie's famous for its walleye.
And the perch. The Cleveland
perches.
I like perch better.
Yeah, but perches, you know, it's going to sound like a bird.
Yeah. Well, they don't have the Asian carp in the Great Lakes.
No, actually, they've held off so far. They have
the steelhead carp.
Oh, do they?
You catch one of those suckers. They're because when you go out to the fish at up in Port Clinton, you take you out and this like a lead weight hits your line. You lift this thing up, and it's the ugliest looking fish you ever seen. I mean, it's ugly. I mean, it's just ugly fish. And they throw them away. I mean, you throw them back in because
they're too ugly.
They're too ugly.
What do you look at? You're not going to eat something that ugly.
You couldn't carve that thing up. You're scared. Oh, my God. I can't. But the walleye is a fun fish to catch. They have teeth.
Oh, do they?
But I don't think they're ferocious. Usually going like a shark.
Okay.
The barracudas. The marlins.
I don't think we have any of those in Lake Erie.
They have lots of zebra mussels or quag mussels now.
Zebra mussels.
They coat the whole bottom of the Great Lakes. The whole bottom.
That's only scary to the ecology. It's not scary.
Well, yeah. Quag mussels. The Cleveland quag mussels.
Yeah, no.
I like it better than the spiders.
Yeah, no.
Jeez, spiders. It's not an insect. We can't call it. It's not an insect.
No, it's not an insect.
What can you name anything? Another team that's. I guess there's like the Yellow Jackets. They're an insect. The Baldwin Wallace Yellow Jackets.
Yeah.
The bees. You got the Medina bees.
Medina bees. Yeah.
So there are some insects out there, but the spider's not an insect. It's Anthropalica or something like that.
Arachnophobe.
Yeah, arachnophobe.
Arachnoid. Arachnoid.
They have eight legs instead of
eight
six.
Eight legs, yes.
So that's the most exciting thing we could talk about the Indians right now.
You're right, because, got a couple minutes here.
Yeah.
The Browns seem to be
They're moving.
Busy.
They're moving along. The draft will be in Cleveland this year.
And it seems so weird because of the fact that our team did so well last year, but yet we're seeing a lot of people come and go on a team that was pretty good.
The defensive aspect of it, yeah. They have are leaving in some cases, but we picked up some... some talent while I was gone here, and who are they? Who are they? I mean, nothing like Tack McKinley, T-A-K-K McKinley. He's a defensive end. Olivier Vernon is not going to be back. He has a ruptured Achilles heel and more than likely won't be back. And they got some others from the Rams like John Johnson. You know, they're upgrades, mm-hmm. but they didn't get J.J. Watt, which would have been kind of interesting, but
he's
so injury prone. So they're looking at a couple guys in the draft. The offense is pretty pretty stable. They did sign Rashard Higgins.
They did. Yeah.
For $6 million guaranteed for a 1-year contract. So that was a good move. I'm impressed with Andrew Berry, and like I said, the draft will be in Cleveland behind the Science Center off of Route 2 there, when you drive by the First Energy, and it's not going to be as big as some of the shindigs they've had in Nashville, but unfortunately, COVID's still going to scale back, but at least they're having it in Cleveland.
In Cleveland. Yeah, just as the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductions will at some point return to Cleveland, I think next couple of years.
I hope so.
So
I've been happy as a clam since, speaking of clams, our mussels.
The mussels,
speaking of mussels. When Moody Blues got in there.
There you go.
Are you ready?
We are ready.
What do you call a snake that is 3.141 feet long?
I don't know.
A pie. Python.
Python. Of course it is. very appropriate for what? Last week or so?
Yeah. I'll have one for Easter next week.
Oh, you have one for Easter. Very good.
Next week.
Before we go out and
set the research of these puns take me hours.
I would imagine so. So, anyway, that's it for this week. Welcome back again.
Well, did you like that one?
I did.
On a scale of 1 to 10, what was it?
On a scale of 1 to 10, it was probably a 6.5, 7. No, how's that?
I'll strive for better.
Okay. And
I can do the misdemeanor one.
The what?
The misdemeanor.
The misdemeanor?
You remember that one?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's when the post.
That's it. We're out of here. We'll see everybody next week on Sports Sidebar.